Jesus, more of you and less of me. Holy Spirit, you're moving here this morning, and help us to realize the work of the Holy Spirit is personal, individual, working toward creating more of Christ in us, that the aroma of Christ can flow out of us. Thank you, Lord. Greetings, Calvary Church, and thank you so much for your hospitality and your love. And thank you personally to the church staff. We were able to meet Pastor Renee and Catherine and Tara, and but especially to Connie, Tom, Andy, and Ken. And we feel welcomed. We feel excited to be here, to get to know you better. We've been praying for you for months, and we want to see the plans of God accomplished here in my life, in your lives, that this church will reflect the love of Christ in your homes, to each other in this congregation, and in your community. Briefly, in sharing some of my personal history, like all of you, I was born into a broken world. But like some of you here today, I was not born into a Christian home. When my mom and dad met, she was a rebellious Baptist, and he was a non-attending Lutheran. My home was dominated by the world's view, not Christ's view. I would compare my life in my early years like the book A Tale of Two Cities, which begins with the lines, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." My father was demanding, a disciplinarian, a taskmaster. Nothing short of perfection was expected from us children. And by the time my older brother, who was 12 and I was 10, we could run the household. But the other side of my dad, he knew how to relax and play, and our camping trips were the best of times when he shared his love for the great outdoors in swimming, canoeing, hiking, and fishing. He also poured his love and confidence into me by never looking down on me because I was the only girl with four brothers. He'd often say, "Jeannie, show those little brothers of yours how to do it." My mother became jealous at a very early age of his love and attention toward me, and emotionally there was a lot of disconnect and fighting going on with my parents, and it created a rift in our relationship. I was never nurtured by her, but became much like her servant, and I felt her wrath many times. Those early childhood experiences shaped me. Issues of anxiety began at an early age. My need to earn love, to be perfect to earn it, created coping mechanisms of wanting to run away, of placing my value on my performance, which led to feeling others could not live up to my expectations, which led to independence, which led to not trusting, which led to judging, which led to isolation and loneliness. I had built a wall around my heart so that I wouldn't be hurt. I had learned early to put a smile on my face because that was what was demanded of me at all times in my home. But I also learned that when you smile, people just assume you are fine, have no problems, and then I don't have to let anyone get too close. But God had a plan for my life. And when my dad asked Christ into his heart, I began to see the incredible changes in his life. He got involved in a charismatic group, and when I was 14 years old, he brought our youth group from the Methodist Church to Minneapolis to hear an evangelist, Leonard Ravenhill. It was there I walked forward to the altar and gave my life to Christ. And it was there that I first experienced what unconditional love was. I wanted that desperately. It was the best of times. I asked God into my life in faith, believing that he could rewrite my story. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, "You yourselves are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. I would love to share more of my journey through these many years, but today I want to encourage you in this new chapter in the life of Calvary Church. You are the body of Christ. Everyone is important and needed in that body. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13 says, "There is one body, but it has many parts, but all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, women or men, slaves or free people. We were all given the same Spirit to drink." It is only the power of the Holy Spirit that can change me. And only as I surrender my will to be receptive to his work and then walking in obedience, I receive freedom. And this speaks of relationship, not performance. Praise God. I wanted relationship. I did not want performance. Even as Jesus walked this earth, people were looking for signs and wonders. We have done the same in the church with wanting signs and miracles, and that's all very good to be evident by the power of the Holy Spirit. But remember, church, even as you're going through this new change and new thing that God wants to do in your life, the work of the Holy Spirit is personal and individual. No one knows you or me like him. Only the Holy Spirit has the enabling power and grace to take my willingness to face truth about myself, to repent of my character defects, to surrender my will to him, to make me into the person who God can heal, restore, and be used to live out his plans for your life and for my life. And I understand more than ever the truth from 2 Corinthians 3:17. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." As Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This is my daily discipline, that I take time daily to read his word. I meditate on it and allow myself to be receptive to his leading in order that my heart would be tender toward him." When Jesus shared the parable of the sowing of the seed, he was speaking to the condition of a person's heart. We need to guard our hearts. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Isn't it interesting that it's peace that will guard our hearts? What are those things that rob us of our peace? Well, there's so many things. We may have suffered great loss. We may have felt rejection. We may hold grudges. We may have anger, getting our pound of flesh, getting even, or not being able to have our way, expectations. These are the things that we need to lay at Jesus' feet, give to him, and let him take control. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so, as you begin your search for a new pastor, begin your own personal search of your heart. Pray for your board members, as God would have us pray for all those in authority over us. Do you need to express forgiveness? Forgive, even as Christ forgave. John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And I'd like to read a portion from a Facebook page I saw this week from Susie Larson Blessings. I quote, "A healthy heart condition is critical to accomplishing God's mission. God is with you in this place. Your best days are not behind you. In fact, they're right in front of you. Though the enemy knows how to wound us, God knows how to heal us. Though the enemy is a crafty liar, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is for you. Don't panic. Don't grab for quick solutions. Seek peace and pursue it. Your Prince of Peace will faithfully lead you onward and upward. His plans for you are good. I close by reading Hosea 10:12. Plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Father, help us to surrender every past experience, every unhealed hurt, unresolved issue, and unmet need over to you. Amen.
Amen. You know, I was the only boy. I have three older sisters, and I was the baby of the family. My sisters always said I was a spoiled brat, and they still think I'm a spoiled brat. But my mother, who can be very protective, you know, the only boy, when I started dating this lady, she said, Jerry, a word of advice, don't let her get away. And I didn't. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a joy to this pastor's heart to look out and see Brian and Sarah Vandewall here. I had the privilege of doing their wedding just a few years. How many years? 19. Yeah, she remembers. Brian was thinking. Yeah, 19 years. So they're a great couple. I know they love this church and we love them. And it's a joy for a pastor when he sees couples that he has invested in moving on in their relationship with the Lord and with each other. It just brings joy to our hearts. Change. Everyone say change. Oh, change. Why can it be so hard? Pastor Jim Erickson, Jeannie's dad, the founder of Living Hope Church, formerly Interfaith Fellowship, used to say from the pulpit from time to time, I don't mind change as long as I don't have to. Yes, yes. Listen, every time I look in the mirror, I see change. If you watch or read, listen to the news, it is all about change, constant. We watch, read those news, and we see it change, 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 change. Solomon had some things to say about change in Ecclesiastes 3. He said, there's a time for everything, season for every activity under the heavens, time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to uproot, time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to build, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to scatter stones, time to gather them, time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing, time to search, time to give up, time to keep, and a time to throw away. Let me just pause right there. That verse has special meaning to me. 2 weeks ago tonight, as we went down into our lovely lower area in the basement, all finished, totally carpeted, about 1,600 square feet of it, and stepped down into a carpet soaked with water. And the sump pump had decided that it had had enough over the years and decided it wasn't going to work anymore. So we have been in the process of ripping it all out, not us, but the cleaning company, and thank the Lord for insurance. By the way, if you have a sump pump, make sure that you have a rider on that insurance that covers sump pump malfunction. That's the hard part. The good part is I like to get rid of stuff. And we have gotten rid of so much stuff. We've given stuff away. We've handed things off to the kids, some of them, and that wanted some of that stuff. So time to throw away, yes, I'm in total agreement about that. Time to tear, time to mend, time to be silent, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time for war, and a time of peace. A couple of points I want to draw to your attention this morning. Number one, don't get too comfortable where you are, what you have, what you're doing, because things can and will change. I'm reminded of the words of Corrie Ten Boom. That name rings anything to you? Amazing lady. She said, hold everything in your hands lightly, otherwise it hurts when God pries your fingers open. Any of you experienced that? Yeah, I certainly have. Secondly, keep your focus, church, on what is important, what really matters. Verse 11, it's not there, but Solomon said, he has made everything beautiful in his time, and he has put eternity in our hearts. And I'm drawn to the fact that Solomon said he's made everything beautiful in his time. Honestly, I would have said some things are beautiful in their time. But he says everything's beautiful in his time. And it brought me to the thought of Romans 8:28. All things, in all things, God works together for good. It didn't say for all things, it said right in all things. How many of you know there's a difference between for all things and in all things? God works together for our good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Always for our good, always for God's glory, right? It is. God is working for your good, my friends. And so we endure things, we go through things, we experience things, some hard things. Some of you may be going through some real deep struggles right now in your life, maybe physically, maybe in relationships, maybe extended family that you prayed for years and years. Listen, God's not done working. Until he calls us home, he works. We continue to hope, we continue to pray, we continue to believe. Somebody say a good amen to that? Amen. A Greek philosopher said this, the only constant in life is change. And that is true. Partly. I agree with part of that statement. Change is constant. But I know some things that will never change. Some things you and I can count on. I'm going to give you three of them right now. One of them is God never changes. Everyone say God never changes. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Listen, the world can change. Morals can change. Values can change. They mutate. But God doesn't. He's the same, and what he says still goes. Number two, Jesus Christ is the same. Everyone say, Jesus Christ is the same. In Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And finally, God's word is faithful and true. Everyone say, God's word is faithful and true. It's the biggest attack, I believe, in Christianity today is the veracity, the truthfulness, the reliability of God's word. We need to be thankful for God's word. And I encourage you in these times when things are changing so quickly, so rapidly, hang on to the things that never change and keep eternity in your focus. We're called to live by the word and proclaim it. God's word isn't going to change. God wants the word to change us, right? Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's a sharp two-edged sword. Have you ever experienced that from God's word? You know, there's certain scriptures that I don't like to read. Speak little, listen much. I like to talk. And listening is harder, right? Anytime. Jesus Christ said in chapter 14 of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no person, no way to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I have people say, well, Pastor, that's awfully narrow. That's awfully exclusive. Well, it is to those who receive and it is to those who don't receive. I didn't say it. God's word says it. Jesus said it. And how many of you know when Jesus says something, we ought to listen to it, right? Yeah, we ought to listen. But he also said in John 3:16, right? He loves the world. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, everybody, to have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. Don't answer it out loud. Just think about it. Do you think that God knows who your next pastor is going to be? I think he does. Right? He knows everything, right? I think he knows that. Then why wait? I mean, we're Americans. We don't like to wait on anything. We want things done now. Waiting is not easy for us. So why wait if God knows? Well, there's a couple things to think about. One of them is Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Aren't you glad of that? And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. There's a reason to wait. God is preparing already the heart of the next pastor. He doesn't, may not even know that, but God's already working in his heart and in his life and arranging circumstances. So when God's timing is perfect, and God's timing is always perfect, it will reveal itself. But God's also preparing Calvary Church, the hearts and the lives of Calvary Church people. So when that pastor comes, this is going to be a church that is not in neutral, but is in drive and moving forward and evangelizing those who are lost and discipling those who need to be discipled. And when he is handed that baton, he's going to join a race that's already been run, and great things are going to happen. Well, we learned some things in a waiting period. We learned to trust. My sister, the first Bible I ever got was from my sister. I was a teenager. And in that little pocket Bible she gave me, she wrote out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't know why she wrote that in there. Actually, I know why she wrote it now. Because it's kind of been my theme verse all of my life. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the part that trips us up. I want to understand. But the Word says God's ways are just higher than our ways sometimes. His thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In some of your ways? In most of your ways? In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, church, and He will direct your paths. Many years ago, a lady came to my office, and she was struggling with something in her family and life, and we were talking about it. It was a spiritual thing, and she said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, Pastor, what is your greatest spiritual battle? What a question. What a great question. And I said, that's a great question. And I thought about it for a little bit. I said, probably trusting God. She said, oh, you don't trust God? I said, no, I trust God. She said, oh, you do trust God? I said, no, I don't trust God. She said, you don't? I said, no, I do. And finally she got the message. Yes, we trust God, but sometimes, like the man who needed a healing, we say, Lord, help us. That's one of my favorite hymns. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. I sing that a lot. I trust you, Lord, but give me the grace to trust you more in every area of my life that I might be struggling in. You want to build up your trust and build up your faith. You discover what the old song by Andre Crouch said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend what? Upon His Word. Upon His Word. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace. I like that. Not just some peace or a little bit of peace or come and go. He will keep you, church, in perfect peace, all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. God's Word. Listen, when I was a youth pastor for a number of years and then senior pastor at our church, I would often refer to the kids, to the adults as friends. And I'll refer to you as friends many times. And if you were in that church today and you said, why did Pastor Jerry call you friends? And they would say, what? My friends back there? Why am I your friend? Because I tell you the truth. Way to go, Lindy. I brought a couple of fans with from Green Bay. If you have friends and they're not telling you the truth and showing you the truth, they're not your friends. I used to tell that to the teenagers. If you're hanging around with teenagers and they're leading you down a bad path, they are not your friends. You want true friends? True friends will tell you the truth. In church, as God is my authority and the Word is my authority, I will tell you the truth. And I'm your friend. When Pastor Jim passed the baton, so to speak, to me, he put his hand on my shoulder. He says, Jerry, word of advice. Jeannie kind of shared it this morning. More of God's word and less of you is always a good thing. When I passed the baton literally to Pastor Mike at Living Hope Church, I said, Mike, word of advice, more of God's word and less of you is always a good thing. And that's true. Jesus said, and aren't you glad that he said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Isn't that a beautiful truth? That's an assurance, and I want that in this time to just soak into your minds and into your hearts, and let that truth bring joy to an overflowing part through your life. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, the word says you do not need to fear. The media is continually bombarding us with bad news, morning, noon, and night. Listen, more of God's word and less of the media is always a good thing. I don't care what channel you're tuned into. You're hearing what the advertisers of that channel want you to hear. So if you want the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you stand hard and lean hard on the word of God. Always remember when you share the word with somebody, what it says in Ephesians in chapter 4. To speak the truth in love, right? Listen, truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is compromise. That's why we speak the truth in love. As Christians, they have to go hand in hand. Read the word. I've had people say, Pastor, the Bible's so hard to read. Listen, before I was a pastor, I had my master's degree work in reading. I was a K-12 reading specialist for the school district of De Pere. And I would say to those people, listen, I've done readability studies on every version of the Bible. The hardest one is the King James Bible. Eighth grade level. The easiest is around fourth grade level. So don't say that it's too hard to read. Say, I don't want to read it. I don't particularly like to read it. And it doesn't have meaning to me. Well, then ask God to give you a passion and a love for the Word of God. I've had people say to me, Pastor, what's the best version that I can read? What's the best version of the Bible that you recommend? You know what my answer was? The best version is the one you'll read. Whichever one you read is the best version. And God will work through that version. Ask God, if you don't have a passion and a love for God's word, then ask him to give you a love for his word. Ask him to give you a passion for his word. I love God's word. It's so amazing. It's so up to date. It's so relevant to our times. And if we read it and we have gone through some studies and you get through the end of Revelation, I was going to do, back in our church back in the day, an 8-week study of the book of Revelation. And 26 weeks later, I was kind of bringing it to a close. There's a lot there to unpack in the book of Revelation. And I don't know, nobody knows the day that Christ is coming back. But we pretty much know that every prophecy that the Bible talks about that needs to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. So we're on short time at least. And we need to be about our Father's business in the work of the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray. Listen, Calvary Church, for this church, for all of you, for the next pastor, I declare by faith on the Word of God and in Jesus' name that the best is yet to come. Amen. It is not behind you. It is all in front of you. However good it was, it's going to be gooder. And gooder and gooder. I'm going to close with the story. When I had announced to the church that we were going to do a transition, and Pastor Mike had been my associate for like 20 years, so the church knew who he was. But it's still a big thing. And we got probably about 3 months away from that time, and I got a call from one of our deacons, not the two that are here today. And he asked me out to breakfast. I said, sure, that'd be great. So I told the genie, I said, he's never asked me out to breakfast before. He's got something on his mind. So, and he's a great guy. And he said to me, after we got talking about family and that stuff and ate breakfast, he said, I'm really worried about something. I said, what? He said, you know, I love Pastor Mike. He's a really good man. He's a good guy and a good husband and father. But he said, I honestly don't think that he can do what you do. I'm really worried about that. I said, let's take, his name was Jim. I said, let's take a little history trip, Jim. And let's go back 30 years. I said, Pastor Jeannie's dad, Pastor Erickson, if you never heard him preach, listen, he was the master. He was an amazing preacher and teacher of the gospel. Honest to goodness, the best I ever heard. And he had Parkinson's disease and had to retire. And I still don't understand that with God, but someday I'll ask him that question. But maybe when I see God, it won't make any difference. I won't even ask him, so it won't make any difference. But anyway, the church was booming. It was growing. People were getting saved. They were coming in droves. It was the height of the charismatic movement. And I was brought on to get a youth ministry going in Christian Ed. And, you know, I didn't preach very rarely on Sunday morning. And when I did, there was always a couple handfuls of people that, if they knew that, they wouldn't come because Pastor Jim wasn't there preaching. So I said to him, I said, so Jim, did you ever think to yourself back then, if something happened to Pastor Jim, I don't think Pastor Jerry could do it. I don't think it would work. He said, yes. I said, when you got together with your friends over dinner or whatever, social time, did you ever talk about that? He said, yes. I said, did it turn out okay? And he started to cry. And he said, no, Pastor, more than okay. I said, you know why it was more than okay? Because Living Hope Church wasn't Pastor Jim's church. Living Hope Church wasn't Pastor Jerry's church. Living Hope Church was God's church. It always was, it still is, and it always will be. Calvary Assembly is not the next pastor's church. It wasn't Pastor Tim's church, and it's not your church. It's God's church. And you and I have the privilege of being a part of what God wants to do. And I'm glad of that because God gets the glory. All glory to God. And if we keep that in mind, friends, there's no limitations on what God can and will do in this church. Next Sunday, I'm going to give a message called What Happens to People Who Never Hear the Gospel? Did you ever wonder that? What happens to people who never hear the gospel? We supported a family in China for years. And he said to me one time, there's probably 1 billion people in China that have never heard the name of Jesus. He's not even in their history. He's not even a swear word in their vocabulary. What happens to them? What happens to people? I'm going to try to answer that question for you next week. And I think it will help you, and I think it will motivate you. But for today, as we bring this to a close, and by the way, generally when I say we're bringing it to a close, generally I will close. It's like Paul, you know, when there's 13 chapters in one of the books, chapter 4, he says, finally, my brethren, and then 8 chapters later, he's bringing it to a close. Here it is, pray, right? Pray, trust, believe the word, be in perfect peace as you keep your mind focused on him. The Lord bless you, Calvary Church, and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, that God is in control of everything that is going on. Thank you, Lord, for that. Would you bow your heads? And worship team, they can come if they would. First time I ever spoke to the teenagers and the adults on a Sunday morning, I said, I will never close a service unless God directs me otherwise. Give people a chance to become a part of the family of God and give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And the only time I didn't do that was when I did it before the service and in the middle of the service. So if you're here, listen, I got a chance to meet a lot of you. It's been such a pleasure for Jeannie and I to meet so many of you, and we look forward to meeting many more of you in the weeks to come. But I don't know all of you. I don't know your circumstances. But God does, and he knows what your heart is. And if you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you never asked him into your life, you never said, Jesus, I confess my sins to you, and I'm so unsure about my eternal destiny, but I want to seal that this morning. I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to my life, to take control of every part of my life. And you just like me and say, Pastor, when you close, would you remember me in your prayers? If that's you, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're seated while the heads are bowed. If I see it, I'll acknowledge it and you can put it back down again. And I'll do this every Sunday. Every Sunday. Just going to give a couple minutes. Some people are thinking about it. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, don't hesitate. He may never speak to you just the way he's speaking to you right now. How about you say, Pastor Jerry, there are just things in my heart, my life, my family, struggles. I have a hard time believing that this is all going to work out for good. So many difficult things, people that just refuse to give their hearts to the Lord and my own family. And I just want to give them all to Jesus this morning. I want to leave it at, so to speak, at the foot of his cross. I'd like you to remember me in prayer this morning. Would you raise your hand right where you're seated? Yeah, I see hands going up all over. Sure, sure. God bless you. If you're able to stand, would you stand? Worship team is going to lead us in a song, one song. Then I'm going to pray. And then we'll have some altar workers to come up here afterwards. And they will pray for you. If you have a special need, you come. And listen, this is the time to really reach out to people. If you've ever thought about inviting someone to church, invite them to church. And I promise you, I'll give you everything that I've got, and I'll give them everything that I got. I can tell some funny stories too. Sometimes a little sugar helps the medicine go down. So, but you bring them, and let's see what God will do.